Hello and welcome to episode 5. This is Kiss and Tell, a couple's podcast of love, life, business, and growth with your hosts, Nick and Viola Hug Taylor.
We're here to create more meaningful conversations and relationships in every area of your life, starting with yourself and your loved ones. We believe everyone deserves to live a joy-filled life that is abundant in all areas, and we understand that growth and success are not a solo act.
We're excited to be here with you, offering you insights from what we have learned within our relationship, as well as having some amazing chats with other couples in love or business, giving you actionable steps, mindset shifts, and personal growth that will support you in creating the best relationships you've ever had, working on living a truly heart-centered, conscious, and meaningful life. Hello and welcome back, everybody. Today, we're so excited to be joined today by someone who's actually a huge mentor and inspiration to me, Krista Rialba. She's over in Ontario, Canada. Hello, Krista.
Hi, guys. I'm so happy to be here.
Thanks so much for sharing your time with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so grateful to have had you as a huge inspiration for me in our business as we've been growing over the past 5 years. And one of the things that I really admire about you and your family, one of the reasons why we wanted to get you on for an interview, is that it really seems like you and your husband have been able to manifest it all. You have been growing a business for 8 years now, but in that time as well, you started off with no kids, now you have 2 kids, and your business seems to have grown the most as you've added more family, which is awesome as you've expanded that.
So the other thing is that you guys always seem like you're having so much fun, and you know, you're still kids at heart and always out there enjoying life, and you guys are best friends as well as husband and wife and also parents. And like I said, you guys are just like total couple goals to me. Like, if I could be as happy as you guys are with each other in the future, that's going to be an epic, epic relationship. So we're really, really excited to have you guys on the show. So we'd love to get started by asking you, how did you guys meet?
Oh, that's so nice. So you guys may or may not hear like giggles in the background because Mike's downstairs with the boys. So he's here, but not here. So Mike and I met, oh my gosh, I've lost count of the years, but let's say like 12-ish years ago. We were both living in Toronto, so the big city over here, and we're both from smaller towns. He's from Winnipeg, and I'm from a smaller town in Ontario. And we both were kind of taking, we were both looking for just kind of some quick cash, I guess you can say. We're kind of in between jobs and that. So we both got a job at a restaurant downtown Toronto. He started maybe about 2 or 3 weeks before me. He was a server. And then I arrived and I was the hostess, and literally as soon as I seen him, I knew I was in trouble. But I mean, like, I just knew that that was it. Like, I was young, like I was what, 22? But I knew that it was like, okay, this is the guy. But I wasn't ready. Like, I was really scared because I just got out of a relationship, you know, a couple months prior, and I like was not looking whatsoever. But as soon as I seen him, I was like, okay. So I actually avoided him, like I am so bad. And it was just like whenever he would come up to the front of the restaurant to ask for his tables, those of you who are familiar with the restaurant industry, I would just keep my head down and then just write them on the paper. And then one time he actually walked up to the hostess stand, and he was, you know, the typical exchanges. I'm writing down his tables, but he asked me for my phone number. So like without looking up, I just wrote down my number and handed it to him. I think I put like a heart on the eye, and sent the signal loud and clear. But I was so nervous the first date. I actually canceled the first date, told him that my mom was visiting from out of town, which wasn't true. I was so nervous. And then after our first date, I mean, we've been together ever since.
That's Aww. So cool. It seems to be a common theme with people who find their soulmates is that they like find them when they're least expecting to.
Yeah,
I know that was the case with us as well.
So tell me a little bit about back then, because I know that I saw on Mike's blog that he used to be like in the acting industry. And I know from obviously following you and your story, you were a fashionista back in the day, still now. Tell me a little bit about what it was like at the beginning. Like, what were you guys doing? And did you have like big goals and dreams for what you wanted to do as well at the time?
Yeah, so Mike was really into his acting career at that moment. Mm-hmm. When we met, he was kind of, he already had some success and was just kind of trying to figure out what was next. For me, I was really focused on the fashion industry. Mm-hmm. But I was also graduating school right around that time, and I had it in my head, you know, just from the time that I can't even remember, that as soon as I was done college, I would travel. Mm-hmm. So just maybe a couple weeks after we met, I actually found out that I was going to be going on an exchange program to West Africa to do some community work.
Wow.
So that was right in like the beginning of our relationship. So I think we were dating maybe just a couple months, and then I had to embark on about a, how long was I gone? Almost 6 months. Mm. So it was, so he actually had to learn how to speak French. So I learned how to speak French in a small town in Quebec, Canada. Mm. So he came to visit me there and kind of professed his love for me there.
That's so cool.
And then I went to West Africa, and he was actually in Los Angeles when I was in Mali. Mm. He was there for like, he was flown in for an audition, and here I am in like a super small village with like one phone for the whole village. Wow. So that was the beginning of our relationship. It was like, it was interesting. Like, we were both in different parts of our life, but then we found our way back to each other when the program was done.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Wow, that's so cool.
West Africa would have been crazy.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was, you know, so here I am, fashionista, you know, super girly girl. And I just wanted to travel so bad that when I was filling out the application, I just, very naive, I just clicked, like, checked off every box. So, like, the boxes were like, would you be willing to do this, this, this? I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And so out of all the different places I could have gone and things I could have done, they put me in agriculture, like in like rice fields and stuff, and like working in the farms. It was really interesting. But yeah, it was a really incredible life-changing experience for sure.
Bit of a growth experience, yeah.
Wow, amazing. That's so cool. And so obviously, it was a few years after you got started that you decided to embark on a business journey, which has been really incredible for you guys. What was it like in those early days, like when you were thinking of starting a business? Like, was there, you know, were there any like fears attached to it, or were there doubts in your mind, or what was your biggest driver to want to create a business for yourself?
Okay, so I think I've been entrepreneurial for as long as I can remember. Mm. So even back in like high school, I was, you know, organizing fashion shows in my backyard and charging for people to come in. Like, I've been an entrepreneur forever. So the business that I am in right now, I can talk to you kind of what shifted my focus to type of business.
Yeah.
But prior to that, I had multiple businesses in the fashion industry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the business I'm in right now, kind of what shifted me to that.
Yes, yeah. Because just as a little background, the business that you're in now is an online business. It's within the networking industry. So it's a very different type of business than doing things like fashion shows and stuff, I assume, right?
Yes.
And I guess totally as well, it's like the way that the economy is going, and you see this trend happening faster and faster as people are being forced to become more open to these sorts of things, because it's just going to be, you know, the general progression of the economy is that people are going to have to look for things for themselves, because, you know, the way that the job industry is going and the way that retail is going, things are going to have to change really, really quickly. So I guess as well, adding that into there too.
Mm. Yeah. So what was that shift for you?
So that's the business of the 21st century, right? Mm. So it's different, different principles and that entrepreneurs need to adapt in order to thrive. Mm-hmm. So lucky for me, I I sought out the mentorship of a woman who really inspired me. Mm-hmm. Her name is Leanne Jacobs, author She's of awesome. Beautiful Money.
Mm.
Yes.
Love that book.
Yes, me too. And I was 25 years old, so super ambitious, super entrepreneurial, real go-getter kind of thing. But I was actually on the verge of burnout at 25. Mm. I didn't really realize it then because I just knew that that was really normal. You know, I seen my mom work super hard my whole life growing up, just like sleeping was optional and like, you know, just like really like go, go, go.
Just on that but hustle. Then,
yeah. But I was actually around that time, right around the time that I was shifting gears and realizing that I didn't have all the answers. My mom was actually diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. Mm. So, you know, the woman who I knew to be unstoppable was kind of hit really hard, and it was really kind of it really woke up our family to okay that we got to take better care of our health. And I knew just as a woman that, you know, how my mom burnt herself out, it's like women are really prone to adrenal fatigue and just really exhausting their adrenals because they give go go go, and like you don't get an award for that. Your award is an autoimmune disease. So 25. So I basically how it happened was there was an event being advertised all over Toronto called WellSpot, a women's symposium of wealth and wellness. Mm. So at 25 years old, I had like I was super broke, but I was quote successful because I was like working with celebrities and stuff. But I was broke. I actually called up the event organizer and I said, I'll love to promote your event and help you out, you know, get the word out there. I'm just looking for a free ticket, basically.
Yeah.
So I went to the event and I met Leanne. And it was at that event that I learned from Laurel Langmeyer. She was talking about leveraged income, residual income. I was learning from experts in health and wellness and meditation. And I was like, wow, like this, I'm missing multiple pieces of the puzzle for long-term success.
Yeah.
So when Leanne sat down with me, I asked her to be my mentor, and she sat down with me about a week later, and she pointed out that I was missing, I wasn't taking great care of my health, mm-hmm. so that doesn't last forever, and B, I had no leverage in my business model, so basically, I just owned my own job, right?
For sure.
So that really woke me up to say, okay, I need to learn a better way.
Mm. Absolutely, that's so cool. And that leverage residual income, I mean, I guess just for those of you that maybe don't know what we mean by that, it's really, it's what I preach as well, is such an important thing to learn about and to find a way to create that for yourself, because it really talks about, on the most simplistic level, creating an income that will continue to pay you even when you stop working, which that's where the leverage and the freedom comes in. So did you and Mike have any goals together at the beginning, like of what you'd like to achieve for yourself?
Okay, so let's talk about that. So when I started this business that I'm in now, mm-hmm. I was not in any situation to start a business. Okay, so I didn't have the time or the money or anything or even the experience to mm-hmm. start a business. So I won't necessarily recommend this, but I will tell you what I did to get started. I didn't actually talk to Mike about it. I didn't ask Mike. You know, we were living together at the time. And I knew that I needed to do something completely different in order to get better results. And I knew also that he wouldn't necessarily totally get the bigger picture.
Yep.
So I took a bit of a leap of faith and went for it. And then I told him once I earned my first residual paycheck, which was only a few weeks later. But
easier to break the news then.
Hey, look, I made some money with this business rather than, hey, I'm going to spend this money on this business.
Oh my gosh. So, I mean, he's so grateful now for the freedom that we've created for our family. But I mean, I don't necessarily recommend that. But at the same time, I do know that when whether it's the, you know, either partner in the relationship, once you really, really, truly decide for yourself, your spouse will be on board no matter what, right?
Absolutely.
So that's just making that personal commitment to yourself, and he or she will come on board after.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Yeah, that's so true.
And I guess you got to that point where it was, you know, for things to change, you have to change, which is really, really cool.
Mm, I love that. Yeah. So, I mean, I think one of the things, like I was saying at the beginning, that inspires us so much is the fact that you really have been able to manifest it all. And knowing a little bit about that backstory, it's like, you know, you were never really in a situation where you had it all figured out and you had all this time and extra money and skill to be able to start a business. And you were able to still, amongst all of that, be able to start a business and obviously get it off the ground. And then years later, as your life developed, you had two kids. And that's been, well, from what I've seen from the outside anyway, the time that your business has grown the most. And I know that a lot of people that are listening that, you know, are maybe thinking that they would like to make a change in their life, but they're not really sure where to start, or they feel like, you know, maybe the time or specific circumstances in their life are holding them back. And then when you know, you look at you, you're not just all hustle. You completely understand the holistic aspect of business. You have so much fun as a family. You know, you guys are raising the kids. You're traveling all the time. You have a really super loving, happy relationship, yet you're still able to grow a really big business. Like, do you have any, I guess, words on that?
Okay, so whether your partner is working in your business or not, it's still a partnership, okay? So, and you know, it hasn't always been easy. We've grown so much together and kind of had to find our way. But what I do know for sure is that when Mike is supporting me now, not just like saying he's supporting me, because there's like the one level of support where it's like holding down the fort kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when he's really supporting me, like he's got my back, he's, you know, he believes in me, I am so much more powerful and impactful. Now,
it's like that synergistic relationship.
Yes. Like I can hustle it out on my own without that, but I feel the difference when I'm supported by my partner. So I would say typically, we'll just use this example, but it might be different for every relationship depending on the dynamics. But so when Mike's sending me the masculine energy, I'm able to be more, to really show up in a more powerful way, right? So he's sending me that, right? Because I'm super feminine, right? But when he's sending me that masculine energy, it's still him contributing to the business, right? And I mean, I think everyone's different, and some partners in relationship are going to be more of the extrovert or more of the introvert or more behind the scenes, but it's still, both roles are equally important. And I think as long as we are making sure that we really value how both people are contributing, then that's can create a thriving relationship. But value really needs to be there for sure. And also, you know, with Mike and I, you know, I've tried to create roles for him in my business that maybe weren't the roles that really weren't aligned with what he wanted to do in this life and in his purpose. So I think it's really important too, to like not force anything on anyone, and just find the skills and the passions that individual has and bring them to life in whatever way that is. And that's okay, right? So every relationship on this series that you guys are interviewing, we're going to have like, you know, couple goals and be like, oh, wow, I wish my wife was like this or my husband was like this. But it's, you know, behind the scenes, there's so much give and take, so much balance. And it's just about really finding each other's strengths and really being super grateful for every way they're contributing.
So I guess that sort of dynamic with you guys, was that something that came natural to you as you started a relationship, you know, back all those years ago? Or is that something that you guys have developed both alone and together as you've gone on?
Oh, we've developed it. That's for sure.
That's what I wanted to hear.
That didn't just come naturally. I think, you know, for me, a marriage or a commitment to another person in a partnership, it is like the most incredible journey of personal growth, right? Like you're always growing together and you're learning how to really thrive together. And it's such a journey. And sometimes you guys are going to be, you know, for us, sometimes we totally are just in sync and we're in flow and life is good. And sometimes we're just like, we come crashing together. And you know, I'm definitely no relationship expert, but I will say that, like, just taking a step back, you know, not taking anything at face value, realizing that, you know, it's always coming from a place of love. Mm. If you guys, you know, if it's really your true partner, and just, you know, wondering what's behind it, and just being, you know, not judging anything on what just happened or what was said or anything, but just kind of take a step back and just say, okay, how this person is hurting, or they're not feeling heard, or not feeling valued. How can I take ownership, and how can I make some changes?
I think that's one of the biggest things that I've been actually learning from, like, from what you've said, and as well, one of the other interviews we did, is like, it's nothing about having to fully be in sync all the time. And it's not about having to know, you know, what your partner is feeling or thinking at all times, but it's about actually embracing each other's differences and knowing where you're at all the time. Mm. Because if you, you know, you take responsibility for where you're at, and you're mindful, and you have that awareness in your own personal growth, that's what's really going to grow you guys as a couple as well. Whether it is, I think that would even be relevant for not only like a loving type relationship, but as well like a business partnership or anything, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Absolutely.
Cool.
And, you know, when the balance is there, it's also, you can see it in the business. The growth is there in the business as well. It's amazing.
Wow. Yeah, that's so cool.
It's, yeah. And if things are just stuck and just not, you know, moving in the relationship, then you also see that it becomes really stagnant in the business, you know. So they're it's all intertwined. It's all a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I would love to touch on how the business has grown since our family has expanded.
Yes, please.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Just recently when I was doing a talk in Phoenix, it was to women at a women's conference, and there's a lot of young women in the audience, and they're like, okay, so afterwards it came to me, they're like, so do I need to have a baby for my business to grow? I'm like, whoa, hold on. Okay. So, actually, as I said that, my 2-year-old just came running up to my leg. Aww. Marcus, can you say hi?
Hello.
So when we had,
okay,
can you sit down for a second? Thank you. So when we had Curtis, so he's going to be 7 this year. That came at a point in our business where, oh guys, sorry, I'm gonna have to grab my kid. He's literally attached to my leg as I'm walking. Hold on. Okay. I'm still in the interview, honey. Can you go? Mama's voice. Okay. So when I had Curtis, my business was fairly stable, but I was really working the business in a way that wasn't set up for how a mom would grow a business with balance. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was really good at kind of working really hard again, and, you know, still not working smart, you know, it's just kind of ingrained in me from what I seen so many years growing up with my mom. An amazing mother. Just, she showed me how to work super hard. So I had to make some shifts in my business afterwards and really learn how to have that balance in the family life. I actually was hit with really severe postpartum depression after Curtis was born.
Oh, wow.
So not a lot of people know about this. Well, some people do. It depends on how much you followed my journey. But so someone, if you guys know me, like, it's very positive, you know, so not, you wouldn't think that I would necessarily come down with that, or if that's the wording, but it was really severe. It took me, and it was about 2 years journey to actually come completely out of it.
Wow.
So it was really a time of introspection and growth, and trying to figure it out and navigate the waters as a family and this new family dynamic and everything. Really super duper grateful for the residual income that we created, because otherwise our family would have totally sunk. Like, we would have had no finances. So it was our residual income that we created that actually carried us through with a new baby. So that was super grateful for that. So when Curtis was born, that was really my a couple years of really like soul searching and personal development and really trying to figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. I grew so much during those couple years, so I'm really, really grateful for that experience in retrospect. One of those
huge tribulations that ends up, you know, creating a lot of growth here.
Oh my gosh, crazy. Wow. I mean, it was the darkest time, but then it brought me to coming out of it just more empathetic and just, I really grew up. Like I really became the woman that I am today through that period of really suffering, right? Mm. So that things can happen after you have children. And so the business didn't grow, but it did become really stable, actually, because when I did show up, it was in a really, I didn't have a lot of energy to give. So it was in a really focused way, right? So rather than just kind of running around and go, it was showing up in a really focused way. So the leadership on my team, everyone came together. I didn't have to carry it all by myself, and everyone really stepped up. So it was a great lesson, and you don't have to do it all, you know? Mm. And then I came back stronger than ever. So Marcus, who is now with Daddy again, so he's almost 3 this year, actually in a couple weeks. So the last 3 years have been just crazy amount of growth in business. Mm. So when he was born, it was like the business blew up.
It's so cool.
And people are like, okay, how is this even possible? You have 2 kids, now you're growing, and you know, you're you know, one of the top growers in North America, and you know, what was the secret sauce with Marcus? I just, you know, what was it? I don't really know exactly. I still don't even know what it was. Mm. But I do know that I did all that personal development. Mike and I did a lot of work together as a couple. Mm. So then when Marcus came, also our why, our purpose really lit up even brighter.
Yeah.
Because we knew that everything that we're doing now is creating a legacy for them, right? Mm-hmm. A financial legacy, a legacy of who we are, of who our family is, the impact that we make on other people. So I was just more energized than ever before. And I mean, like, it was crazy with 2 kids, you know, like you're super sleep deprived, but I literally, I still feel in unstoppable, even with the 2. And it's like, because my why is so strong that we can overcome any how, right? Yeah. So it doesn't matter how people is. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that's so inspiring about you guys is you were able to use your family as the reason to do it rather than the reason that you can't do it.
Yeah. And if you're building a business with purpose, especially a model where you're creating that leverage residual income, it's really cool because, like, for me, time is our most valuable asset. Well, that's just not to me. That's everyone, right?
Yeah, for sure. Now,
So Wednesday night, so that's tomorrow night, I'll spend a couple hours outside of the house in the evening, which is rare for me. Mm-hmm. I just do that once a week. And I'm working with my team locally for growth, and we're helping everyone grow. Now, I know that even though I'm taking those couple hours away from my family time, it's actually investing in their future.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with that, right?
Yeah, totally.
But if I was just going on a, you know, an evening to go just trade time for money, in a job that didn't really light me up, oh my gosh, there's no way I could leave my kids.
And I suppose that's an interesting mindset shift as well, or perception shift when you think about it, because a lot of times, like, parents will work overtime, or they'll work extra hard, or they'll pick up an odd job or whatever because they're saving for their kids' future. Do you know what I mean? Like people who set aside like a college fund and stuff. And it's almost like it's the same mentality, but when you can actually start to understand that there's a different way to do things as well, that doesn't have to be trading time for money, then suddenly the way that you are earning that income changes. And like you say, it feels, you don't feel that hurt of having to leave your family to go do it, you know?
Yeah. And it's, you know, talking to all the moms and dads out there, you got, who are listening, you know, it's not easy. You know, it's not easy, and it's not easy for anyone. But you know what? Like, pick your hard, because it's going to be hard no matter what with raising family, you know. But if you are building a business that's going to create something that gives you more time together, that gives you the freedom, then it's totally worth it, right?
Cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
One other thing that really inspires me about your guys' relationship is, you know, like, me and V went to the park the other day, and we were running around like crazy people, climbing up the
the Jungle Gym and going on the Flying Foxes, and I think we were the oldest people there by like 10 years at least. And you guys just seem to have not lost that, you know, that childish fun and that excitement, even after all these years, which is something that you can see a downwards trend of in certain couples and relationships. So just how do you guys keep that fire and that fun alive?
Okay, well, a couple of things. So we implemented 2 dates, I guess 2 years ago. So every Tuesday while the kids are in childcare school, we go on date. And the date is nothing fancy necessarily, but we'll go for breakfast, we'll go to the mall, we'll go walk around, but we're just together with there's no expectation, and we're just there to just hang out with each other and just play and just relax and, you know, eat good food and whatever it is. So Tuesday date is really great.
That's nice. I like that.
And
I mean, of course we do like the evenings as well, but we just love, there's for Tuesdays, there's just no expectation of what the date is, you know, it just can be whatever. Also, you know, just when you have children, playing with them is all the kids really want anyways. Like they just want their parents on the floor, you know, playing with them, being goofy. So it's great to just play and just having the time to play. Now, with the business that I created, that's our family business, I actually was able to retire Mike. So he hasn't had to go to a day job or any kind of job for over 6 years.
That's awesome.
So he's been able to be a full-on dad, and I think that's important. Honestly, I don't really know how a lot of families are able to find that balance and able to play and able to have the dates and everything, because it's just working, two parents working full time, and then, you know, get home, rush, bed, and it's like, oh my gosh, like what, you know, I'm not trying to look down on it, I just don't know how their tricks, because I find that, you know, Mike and I work so hard on being together and having that connection and making sure we're present parents and present as in our relationship as well. It's a full-time job without a full-time job.
Totally.
And that's like one big motivation for me, is because the generalization I know in my country, and I'm sure in Canada as well, that it's, you know, that the dad goes to work, and it just seems to be the generalization. And even now, not having kids, but really, really wanting to have kids in the next year or two, that's something that already, like the thought of that alone hurts deep. Like that, I can't, like you said, I don't know how they do that.
And it's part of the motivation to create this podcast as well, because we know for a fact, I mean, Nick and I've only been entrepreneurs in, you know, in the fact that we've actually had a business and personal growth.
4 or 5 years.
Yeah, four or five years, but we've seen it, man. Like there's so many options out there for people to actually create a different life for themselves. So we really hope to inspire people to check that out and find something else they can do, you know, create leverage to be able to have that kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, in order to thrive these days, you have to think like an entrepreneur. Whether you love your career or not, you still need to think like an entrepreneur. You know, create an extra stream of income. Look for a stream of income that's not fully dependent on your time, so that your family can have more options. Just having the options to work part-time, having the options to stay at home with your children if that's what you want to do. You know, whenever your children need you, whenever your spouse really needs you, being able to put them first.
Absolutely. That's so beautiful.
And I think, again, like just touching back on the postpartum depression, it's something can come up at any time and you don't know when it's going to hit. And if you don't have something that's, you know, there and ready to go, then you're going to be in a pretty stuck position.
Yeah, like that could have totally ruined us. I don't even know.
Don't want to think about it.
Grateful. Yeah, like that. You know, I was open to learning a different way. Yes, I was really young. I was 25, right? But, you know, whether you're 35, 45, 55, 65 listening to this, just be open to learning a different way. And if you're feeling limited in any way in your life, you know, you're just lacking passion or anything, you're just feeling limited in any way, just learn another way, because we live in such a cool time right now where you can build a business, you know, on the go, from your phone, online. Business of the 21st century.
So like abundance, like we live in such an exciting time. Like there are so many opportunities out there, But I still see a lot of people really thinking that we're entering, you know, some dark times and times where there's no opportunity and that, you know, jobs might be going away and they're scared and stuff like that. And, you know, I love to talk about manifestation and abundance, and so does V, and I know you do too. Like, do you have any tips on really getting, you know, turning inwards and creating that abundance from, you know, an inwards perspective as well, and really feeling like it is an abundant world? Because a lot of people are quite scared.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I feel so abundant, and I feel so abundant in every way. Like, I just, because I feel empowered. Yeah. I feel empowered because I know a better way. There's nothing that could happen to our family, financially or otherwise, that would make me feel completely stuck, because we know how to create income through the business models that we've learned. Right. Yeah. So I think it's just so important. You know, even when we were just getting our family, you know, started, you know, when we were pregnant with Curtis, that wasn't expected.
Yeah.
So we had to really pull things together really quickly to find our, you know, find a home and all that kind of stuff. But we were able to do so. So I've never feel scared about the economy or anything, because if you learn the business of the 21st century, you now become empowered that it's your economy. Yeah. Doesn't matter what's going outside of you. That you have complete skills and power to create whatever kind of abundance that you or your family needs at any given time. Just learn how to build online. And I mean, you guys are such great teachers. So you are two people that can teach the listeners. So just reach out to you guys, and I'm sure you'd be willing to mentor a few people, right? But it's just, I'm just so grateful that Leanne taught me, right? So it's too late. And right now I'm actually teaching, it's called B21, Business of the 21st Century.
I wanted to ask about that.
I teach it every Monday morning at 10 a.m. at a local university. And I don't teach it in the university. I teach it right kind of on campus at a local cafe. And the people who are coming to learn are of every background, every age. So we're talking like 19-year-olds and retirees and everything between. And they're just like, so they want to learn what this business of the 21st century, what are the principles to really to thrive in today's economy, and not just today's economy, but for life, to become truly empowered. And so many light bulbs go off in that audience. It's so funny. Yeah. Like even last week there was a couple, they were, you know, multimillionaires, very successful entrepreneurs. But they realized that they didn't know how to teach what they did. Like, it wasn't actually duplicatable. Yeah. So they didn't know how to empower their children. Wow. They didn't know how to empower their friends. You know, and then that's just amazing. You know, men and women who are coming out of university, their jobs don't necessarily exist.
Yeah.
and I suppose as well, like, back to that comment of the couple that's a millionaire, one of the things that I love, and we actually spoke about in our podcast a couple of weeks ago, was the concept that, you know, like, I guess financial success or creating a really great business or having things like that doesn't mean it comes with the happiness tag attached to it, because, you know, happiness and fulfillment actually comes from not only doing amazing things, but being able to share that with other people and empower other people. And so that's so awesome to hear that, you know, that's a real life example of someone who's been able to create success, but now are wanting to do something where they can help their friends and their children.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Oh,
amazing. That's so cool. Because I think as well, like, I love one of the phrases that you use quite a lot. And I know that I've actually done your mentorship program called Hustle and Heart, which talks about, you know, the hustle aspect. Like, obviously it takes work. And like you say as well, you grew up with a role model of someone who was willing to work hard, and you are willing to hustle as well. But then also the concept of heart comes in, which is really almost that concept of letting go and trusting in the process and knowing that it's an abundant world. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah. I mean, so many things that I heard from my mentor in the beginning stages, I kind of just fluffed off as like, whatever, you know, like it didn't really sink in. But just the whole concept that money is just energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing this, and I was so annoyed when I heard this. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm so broke right now, you know? And she's just explaining to me that I need to become aligned. And there was just so much resistance and baggage around my finances. So that's more on like the energetic side of things, which might not hit home with everyone listening. But I think the energetic part of attracting abundance can come after you learn the more practical. So if you want to read something like anything from Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
That book changed my life.
Total game changer, yeah. Right? So let's just start there, like with Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Like for all everyone listening, like read that. You can, you know, get it anywhere. It's an oldie but a goodie. And the principles are there. So that's going to, after that, then start to really, you know, start to channel abundance. And, you know, I'm a yogi as well. I'm a yoga instructor. And one thing that I realized through the yoga teacher training and teaching my students is that if we are blocked financially, that is 100% going to show up in another area of our life.
Absolutely. Right?
So, and when we can receive financially, it just means that we're in the flow, we're balanced, we're open. So all of our chakras, if you will, everyone listening, once everything's really open and aligned, then you can just receive. You can receive anything your heart desires.
Yeah.
And it's just so if I'm ever, and it still happens today once in a while, right, I just become like, you know, I'm not in alignment, right? And I can feel it in my body. I feel like crunchy and grumpy and, you know, just I'm not, you know, in sync. So what do I need to do to get back to that, right? So something's got to give, right? So I just need to take a step back, maybe take a day off. There's a few things that I need to do to really relax, right? And maybe do some reading, meditation, go to yoga so that I then be in a place where I can receive.
Oh, that's beautiful. Awesome. Oh, that's so cool. Because I do think that aspect of it is so important because it, especially as you further your, I guess, journey of creating abundance or whatever it might be, self-care and understanding that energetic side of it has to come in at some point. Because like you say, it's energetic. It's and it will show up in other areas of our life if we don't also pay attention to that.
Yes.
And just another question as well. This was going to be one for Mike because we've really loved watching his vlog that he's been making. It's really, really cool. And for you guys listening, jump onto YouTube. We'll add the links in the description as well, but search Mike Rialba on YouTube and his vlog is really, really cool.
That's
and
great.
And just really funny as well. And it's just awesome to see, you know, a bit of the background story of these guys in their life.
And I love how silly you are, Chris.
It's so cool. We were cracking up watching it, but I really love his...
crazy my laugh was until I was listening to this. I was like, did I really sound like that? I thought he was editing me something.
Isn't that the worst thing, like hearing your laugh on? But one of the concepts he talks about and something I love and also something we've touched on in one of our previous podcasts, which is, you know, start before you're ready, is he says, you know, it's good enough, it's not perfect. I really, really love that. So I guess some of your tips on not being a real perfectionist and just getting out there and executing, how important is that?
Oh my gosh, it's everything.
Yeah.
That comes very, very, very naturally to me. So Mike and I are complete opposite in that spectrum. So whenever he, you know, came up with an idea of something that he was kind of interested in pursuing, I'm like, my energy would be like, go do it, And then I realized I had to like tone it down because he got so overwhelmed.
I can so relate to that.
So hyper, right? So when he came up with the idea of 40 for 40, this blog that he's on right now, it was like I got really excited right off the bat. And then I realized I'm like, okay, no, I'm just going to take it down about 25 notches and be like, you know what? That's definitely something that you should consider pursuing, you know? And I was supportive, listening, you know, but not being crazy about it.
Yeah.
Now, I knew that was a personal journey that he had to go on, and I could kind of, you know, give him gentle nudges. Yeah. But at the end of the day, he knew that he needed to embark on this journey for his own personal growth, right?
That's so cool.
It just don't worry about being perfect because, you know what? Once you put something out there, either it's going to hit or it's not. Like, you're going to know as soon as you release it that, oh, this is awesome. I'm so excited. And you're going to know that you're in alignment and it's going to feel really good. Or I'm like, nah, I don't really know if I want to, like, take this to the next level. Right?
But you're not going to know until you do it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it's just such a journey. Like, just you learn so much by releasing things and putting it out there. And I really don't think I have any regrets of releasing different projects. Just some hit and some don't, right? Yeah. Some are like, oh, and you never know. At least I never know.
That's so cool.
Really take off.
Yeah.
Awesome. So just a couple of rapid fire questions to finish. Honestly, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, this has been so amazing. I'm more inspired than ever and so grateful for your time again.
I adore you guys. So hopefully next time Mike can be on.
Yes, that would be definitely awesome. So if you could pick one place in the world that you've either been to or haven't been to yet, where would you travel?
Okay, well, on the vision board right now is Madrid.
Oh, ooh, amazing. Yeah, nice. I want to go there too. What's your favorite date that you've been on with Mike?
Favorite date? Okay, well, this is actually a family date. We were in Malibu, California, mm-hmm. and we were just kind of, you know, going on a little, you know, drive around the ocean, so dreamy. And all of a sudden, like, Mike's not really someone who just kind of does things really impromptu, more, you know, organized and calculated, but yep. All of a sudden we were taking a detour and I'm like, where are we going? And he's like, oh, I have a surprise for you. And he pulled up to the most, I've never been to such a more divine place. It was a temple, and it was an outdoor temple, and it was just so beautiful. It was all the Hindu statues were outside, and the energy of that place was just off the charts. Aww. So whenever I'm doing a meditation now, and I just go back to that place, but it was just the most special, special time. And he knew that how much that would mean to me, and just be one of those moments that will just forever stay ingrained in my heart.
I think I remember seeing that on Facebook, actually.
Oh, so special.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Go, Mike. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
We're a big fan of smoothies. I know you're a big fan of smoothie too. So what's your favorite smoothie recipe?
At the moment.
At the moment. That's the key word right there.
Yeah.
At this very moment, I've kind of gone back to super simple. Because I've done all kinds of crazy smoothies, but right now I'm just kind of like a blend and go. I like the blender bottle and just being able to simplify. I'm getting ready for a really big month starting tomorrow, the month of March. So big business goals that I will bring to life and you guys are going to hear about.
Oh, yeah.
That's so cool.
But simplify. So just like my, you know, purified water, my smoothie mix, and good to go.
Perfect.
Ideal.
Cool. Yeah. So another question, if you could put any book into the school system, what would it be?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. It would definitely be something from Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Awesome.
For sure.
So I love that.
Yeah.
Are you doing any specific like personal development reading or listening to any audios at the moment?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've really made it my job to study everything that has to do with business of the 21st century. So Royalty Income by Steve Hertzschuk is an incredible book. I highly recommend.
I haven't read that yet. I really want to read that.
I need to get my hands on that.
Honestly, you guys, like, you know, I thought I knew it, but I didn't know it in regular language. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think the industry that I'm in, I'm used to kind of the lingo, and just the way that it was broken down was so simple, and it can really helps me to teach other people.
Awesome.
Amazing. I'm going to get on to that next.
Yeah. The audio, guys.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get on the audio. Oh, well, thank you so much, Krista. Did you have another question you want to ask? Or?
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. Amazing. Oh, we're so grateful. This has been just so awesome, and we can't wait.
Thank you guys for doing this.
Yeah.
I'm excited to be a part of your journey.
Yeah,
I feel like I've learned so much. You're so wise.
You are.
Jeez, thank you.
And I'm really excited to see all of the wonderful things that you're up to, and we'll keep supporting you with your business of the 21st century and with your big month you have coming up and everything, and we'll talk to you again soon.
And so much love to Mike and the family as well. You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, grateful for you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Krista.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.